I wanted to go through this again and see if you guys, from the midst of Christmas, see if you track, and now that you look at it without having it presented, or like someone like Sam and Sarah, who have heard this when they were in 6th grade or 7th grade, right, to see how many they can find. And then we're going to talk about some of these and then really have some discussion around it. Not to reteach, I'm not going to reteach the whole thing I did last week, but I want to see how much you guys remember, and if you weren't in the class last week, what you can identify as a myth, a common myth of Christmas that comes through Christmas cards and Christmas cartoons. Okay, why don't we pray and we'll get started. Father, we thank you, and we want to come before you with this heart that doesn't want to let the meaning of Christmas slip by so quickly. Lord, I was ready to jump back into where we were in the book of Revelation, and I was excited to do that and started prepping in that. But Lord, I know you just put upon my heart, Lord, that we can't let this Christmas season, even though the stores have already taken the Christmas stuff and put it into a clearance section, and all the themes are changing at Target, and the world is moving on from Christmas, Lord, but we don't want to, because this is precious for us, and we wanna meditate and think deeply and drink deeply on the thoughts of what it means that a king who should have never left his throne in one of the most daring ways and courageous ways and in the most lowly of ways. And where this king went from his throne is hard to imagine for us. And we want to always let that sink in our hearts. And so, Father, be with us in this class and help us again, we pray, because I know I won't be teaching this material probably for another few years, and just let all the facts and convictions sink deep in us. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, so here we go. There's a lot of myths right here in this very nice notes. What do you call these things again?
Silhouettes.
And vector graphics. It's vectorized, right? Is it vectorized? Okay, he can't tell. Okay. But graphic artists, you know, these silhouettes. There's a bunch of myths right here, right? So here's what we showed last week. You guys, Daniel was here. Rebecca was not here. So we get to see how smart Rebecca is. Sarah was not here, right? And if you're not here, you could go through and really see, and if you could identify, let's count how many myths you can come up with. And we'll see if we can identify them as a class. And then we're going to have some type in small groups to actually talk about them. All right? You guys with me? Okay, so you can also work in your little groups. And if you were here last week, you can make someone feel a little bit dumb because you're like, oh, I know this material. It's like the back of my hand. And if you were here last week and you don't know, someone else can mock you. So we're all about mocking each other in this class in good spirits. So work through this. See how many myths are there. See how many you could count and write down. Or if you want to take a picture and highlight it on your phone or whatever. All right, so let's just get started. Get in a group of max three, and get going on it. You guys want to fly through it real quick? I wasn't planning on flying through it, but if you guys are struggling a little bit, I could go through it. I won't teach through it too hard, but... All right, number one, give me one.
They're not homeless.
Huh?
They're not homeless.
Okay. Let's start from the beginning. Can we just start from the beginning? We'll try to go through? Okay, start from the beginning. Okay, someone's saying December 24th. Is there anything before December 24th?
Year zero.
Is there year zero?
No.
According to the Julian Gregorian calendar, whatever we're on, I think. Yeah, there's no year zero. So it is not year zero. And then next. The next myth would be?
24th, December 24th.
Okay, is there anything before December 24th? Okay, December 24th, cold winter night. We don't know. In fact, most folks believe that It was probably in the springtime. Most scholars believe that. Okay, good. Yeah. But I loved what we talked about last week, because Christians and the church has always used party times to bring in the message of Jesus. It's great, because, hey, parties are great. Eternity, new heaven and new earth, it's all a celebration. God's all about celebration. We got to find ways to redeem things. Redeem even pagan holidays like Saturnalia or winter solstice. We have to practice redeeming. So when you're going to your crazy uncle and aunt's house and they're going to have a big drinking party that you got to do for the family reunion time, you drive to that party thinking, okay, how do I bring Jesus here? Yeah? How can we make this into a something that God can use and redeem? One sister had shared with me that when her family gathers for Thanksgiving time, a lot of alcohol, a lot of food, a lot of football games, all that stuff. And when she became a Christian, she asked the hosts of family members who are the hosts, and said, would it be okay if we took time to get in a circle, all of the relatives, and we just went around to share thanks? And many of the Christians there never thought of that, but this new believer did, and it became a new family tradition. And when you know that you're going to give thanks, and there's believers in the room, and people are going to be talking about Jesus, people stop drinking that much. They want to stay a little sober to be able to give thanks clearly. And but see, this sister came and took a pagan normal celebration, and she allowed God to redeem it for their family. You see that? That's what we do as Christians. We take what the world, what's neutral, and the world might use. The world loves to party. Christians should love to party. But our parties, we bring Jesus into that, right? Cool. What else do you guys see? All right, so it's not... Okay, and then Mr. Zuniga, yes, what is it?
They're not homeless.
They lived in what city, actually? Okay, so they lived in Nazareth, which is up here in this region called... You guys know what this is called? It's written up there. Galilee. And they had to make this trek all the way down. So they lived up here. That's why he's often known as Jesus of Nazareth. People don't say he's Jesus of Bethlehem. Right? He's Jesus of Nazareth. Both of these towns. Okay. All right. Okay. So what else do you guys see?
Bethlehem being a large city.
Okay. Something else before that, brother?
Age.
Okay. We think normally today it's like 20s. I just married a couple, my brother-in-law and his now wife, my now sister-in-law, they're in their 30s, and my kids are bugging us this morning, like, are JoJo and Tina going to have babies? And I'm like, when did you have babies, Mom? And she's like, I was 26, that's young, right? That's only a few years away for some of you guys. Today's trend is obviously having babies later. They're like, oh, we don't even think about that. I'm like, hey, all right, that's okay. And that's a very different culture than what we saw, because scholars, what did we share last week? Scholars, what was common in those days was people would be betrothed even in 12, 14, 15 years old. Right, so like our little junior high girls right back there, a lot of them could already be betrothed by now, and with one of the dashing young men in our church. Oh my gosh! If I ever catch one of you, I'm just kidding. I gotta like be a pastor and not a dad. All right, so we got that, and then. We also saw that it's not necessarily a large city of Bethlehem. In fact, Bethlehem was known as more of a backwater town. Okay? Small town. It's true, the song that would say, oh, little town of Bethlehem. It's a little town. That hymn is true. Okay? Nazareth was totally backwater. We're talking small cities. We're small town, like not even a small city, small towns. Okay. All right. What else do you guys see? Okay. Oops, I just went there.
Her name is wrong.
Okay, her name is wrong. Where? Okay. Oh yeah, Joseph and Mary Christ. Are they Mr. and Mrs. Christ?
No.
No, they're not. Christ is what? What does Christ mean? Do you guys remember? In the Greek, it means. Okay. Yes, Christos. And then, what does it mean? Okay, it's a Messiah. Okay, what does that mean?
The anointed one.
Very good. The anointed one. Right? So that's his title. Okay? So when we say, when we pray to Jesus Christ, we're praying, Jesus, the anointed, you're the anointed one. You're the one that was promised to come. You are the rescuer. Then, as we did our study on Revelations, the names of Jesus, the name of Jesus and all of his titles are so precious to us, right? It's a good exercise to camp out on those. What else do you guys see? Anything else?
Full term.
Okay, full term. Mary was very likely not a full term. And we saw that because the distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem was about 90 miles. 90 miles from Rancho Cucamonga is going to where? Like San Diego, Carlsbad? Okay, it's like walking from here to Oceanside or something. Okay? And there's no like paved roads. When the Bible talked about this, it says, and they went up to Bethlehem, which means this is a, if you understand the map, this is a lower area, and everything was moving upwards. You're moving on an incline, and if you've ever done hiking, you know that coming down is way easier than going up, right? This is a, you know, you're going through mountain passes and stuff like that. Predators, threats of bandits, all that stuff. And also, the Bible actually said in the more literal translation, which is, if you want a literal translation, there's this thing in Bible Hub or Bible Gateway called YLT, which is the Young's Literal Translation. It says, and it came to pass in their being there in Bethlehem, the days were fulfilled for her bringing forth. She was there. Because Joseph was a smart, wise, caring man. And the time came for her to give birth. Right? So she was you can't travel on a donkey being 9 months pregnant. Right? Like this, you know, I love this swagger picture here. The swagger Joseph. Like, perfectly. I love this picture. I think it's hilarious. All the wrongness in here. You can't have a woman 9 months pregnant riding on a thing like this when you're like, any pregnant woman, like every pregnant woman that I've known is like, oh, my back hurts. You know, pregnant women don't even walk right because they don't feel right. You're sitting on a donkey? Not likely. And then Mr. Swagger Joseph here, the airbrushed painting, like holding the rope like this. Come on, girl. I just trimmed my beard this morning. Come on, girl. No, he probably did not. He's been spending too much time at the gym because this Joseph is too strong. What else did you guys see? Okay, a few more. I'm going to try to go through these quick. Come on.
A funny hotel.
Okay, no hotel. There's no hotel. We always see the nativity scenes. I love this. All these things you buy on Amazon. And we see we think of hotel as an inn or a Days Inn or a Motel 6. And then we see these cartoons that, you know, have the no vacancy signs. We grew up seeing this stuff. Xmas Eve party, fully booked. Sorry. Read the sign, buddy. Of course, she's on a donkey, full term. Right? Or you see, like, this is my Sunday school class going up where, you know, the teachers would have it in a booklet. And you see the innkeeper saying, No room in the inn. No room in the inn. Okay, no. Because there would have been, one, there's no inns in a backwater town. Inns are, there were things such as inns, and it's mentioned in the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan took him to an inn. But not in a small town like this. It's one of the major roads of major cities. But another word for inn, Cataluma, is what? Is what, Samuel? Cataluma means, do you remember since sixth grade? Okay, Cataluma was not only a word for inn, but it was a word for guest room. So in a traditional first century Israelite house, you would see this area up here, or if it's a one-story, this area over here as a kataluma. So it is translated in the Bible as there was no room in the inn, because that is kataluma. But kataluma also means guest room. And in a two-story, you would have the guest room up here. Why would you have a separate kataluma guest room, especially when they're going to Bethlehem for a census, you have all the relatives coming in? Why would you need a separate room almost walled off or upstairs when the kids all end up sleeping down here? Because that's what kids love to do in the holidays. When your guests come over and they all sleep in your bedrooms and the kids all camp out downstairs to try to take pictures of Santa Claus. That's what we did. We had a Polaroid set up to try to find, catch Santa in that. Right? Why would we do that? Why wouldn't we have a guest room separated for them? Why would you do that? Anybody have a clue? Because you got animals over here. You have animals that you share and you bring them in the evening. Okay? And so, but at that time in Bethlehem, if all the other relatives are also coming in, who gets the preference, even though she is a pregnant young woman who was maybe 12, 14 years old? Who would get the preference of the guest room?
The elderly.
Okay? I don't know how they climb the stairs here, you know, the ladder here, but you would have a guest room like this, and you always, even in that culture, you honor the elderly. And we talked about that last week. We want to be a church that we're always thinking and planning for the future of our next generation. That's why in the future, our music on Sunday is got to start to change. I love hymns, but our music is going to start moving into a different direction. We got to think about our next generation. But we also want to always, biblically, we see we honor our elderly. And churches that have a whole elderly congregation missing, that's kind of a partial church. That's sad. That's kind of incomplete. There's so much blessing when you have the intergeneration. Someone said about our church, they noticed that they're like, your church is not only intergenerational, but I see the older the generations mixing with each other. Oh, it was Eloise, right? She serves at our church. She goes to Calvary Chapel, and she serves at our church, and she says, every Saturday I come, I see teenagers playing with, like, CJ. I'm like, yeah, why would they want to play with CJ? He's like a numbnuck. I call him Nuck at home because he's like a knucklehead. I'm like, yo, Nuck, and why would they want to play with him? Because they love him. You know, we see our junior hires always playing with CJ and Johnny and Russell and Ryan, and then she's like, and I see like the young couples talking to older couples, and you see this intergenerational mix. And I want to continue to encourage our younger generations in here, take care and honor the elderly. Don't think that this is your church. And when you ask for prayer for something, like, don't just ask your own age people. Some of these elderly people really know how to pray. You got to get them praying for you. You want real prayer power? You go to them, right? And so reach out and love and honor the elderly generation of our church. We talked about last week. Okay. All right. So, and then we also saw that, you guys see the word and in scripture that Jesus was laid in a manger. Yes, that word is true. It's a feeding trough. And so what we see in all these nativity scenes, and we see that these nativity scenes of putting Jesus in a wooden trough was started back years ago, with a very godly man who felt that in their celebration of Christmas at that time, they put too much focus on gift giving. Sound familiar? And so he put in their church a baby Jesus in a wooden trough to remind their church at the time, very well intentioned, to place the emphasis of Christmas upon the worship of Christ, the anointed one. Right? Isn't that cool? Great intention, but as a result of St. Francis of Assisi, you have all of these crazy paintings, and now it's like you get the lean-to shelter and the nativity scenes and all stuff like that. Jesus wasn't born in a lean-to shelter. He was laid in a manger, And the manger would be somewhere like here. The manger would be here. The animals would be here. And like I shared last week, I hold the bowl for my dog sometimes so he doesn't have to bend down all the way. This morning I did that. It was a feeding trough, and they would just clean this out. And there'd be a bunch of other kids and families here. The elderly are in the guest room. And then Jesus was laid in a feeding trough. Probably wasn't wood. And he probably did have a shelter over himself and an enclosed room. It wasn't, some scholars even think it might have been in a cave, but it wasn't like a lean-to shelter like this, like all exposed in the elements with animals peeking through the slats of the wood.
Right? Oh, baby Jesus is here.
Right? Anything else?
I was reading somewhere, they weren't even sure it was wood. I mean, it might have been stone or something else.
Oh, yeah, very likely. These are all stone-made. This is part of the ground. So you're digging a hole in the ground to feed your animals, and you just clean it out and you put some hay in there and make it comfortable for a baby. I'm sure if we took Noelle and laid her in a little feeding trough, she wouldn't know the difference. Quiet, Noelle. It's okay. Jesus did it. Right? It'd be fine. Okay? Yeah, so very good. And then we covered all this stuff, right? You know, we covered any other myths you guys see. It wasn't two young shepherd boys. It was just shepherds minding their flock at night. That's also one of the reasons why people don't think it's December 24th, because even though it's not like snowy cold out there, it could be very cold for shepherds to be out at night. What else? Wise men. Okay, we have that. Oh, this one, right? Did you guys catch this one? It was not three wise kings, even though last Sunday, when the choir was presenting their Christmas program, they sang over and over, "We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, blah, 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 blah," right? We three kings. That song has messed up a whole generations of believers. They weren't kings. They were what?
Wise men.
Magi.
Maybe they're old. We don't know how old they were.
We don't know how old they were. Yeah, we don't know. You know, it's not necessarily that they're old. They're not old kings, right? But we might think that there's three because the Bible mentioned three gifts.
Okay.
All right. So, and obviously not Silent Night. Because Silent Night, I love this fun fact at the very end that no one is singing Silent Night because it was written in Austria in 1818, right? So that's way after Jesus' birth. All right. So here's what we're going to do, though. See, these are just a sample of the different, well-intentioned things that were started for Christmas, but I want you to get in your group and discuss real quick what debunked myth was most interesting to you. What debunked myth was most interesting? Like, you're like, oh, that was cool. I heard that before, and I always think that that's a fascinating myth to debunk. And yet, which was most meaningful to you? Because there's a lot of these things, as we talk about them, they still bring a lot of meaning. It doesn't matter whether or not Jesus' manger was made out of wood or made out of stone. Does it really matter? The fact is that the King of the world came in the form of human flesh and was laid in a thing that animals eat out of. It's pretty ghetto. I think there's a lot of meaning to that, right? So share in your group these two things, and we'll wrap up, and we'll hear what you guys have to say about it, okay? How about we share something interesting? Give me one thing that's interesting to you guys, this side of the room. What was interesting? Interesting, huh?
Jesus cried.
That Jesus cried. Right. That was actually a myth, because one of the phrases was that from the song, what was the song? That says, "The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes." Mm. Right? And we said that that is a fallacy. Right? Good. What else? So Jesus very likely cried because he was completely human. Mm-hmm. What else? Any fun facts that you guys will remember? Call it out. Why are you looking at me? Go ahead. Bethlehem was not a large city. Right. A little backwater town. village. What else? Any fun facts? What did you say? Yeah, go ahead. Right. Oh, glory to God in the highest. That's what the shepherds were singing. Yeah, good, good. Amen. What about you guys in the back here? Junior higher girls. Any fun facts? Okay, yeah, Mary probably wasn't riding on the back of the donkey, right? If she was, she definitely wasn't full term doing that. Okay, good. All right, anything else in the back? Josh, so what?
Does it have to be related to, like, this, like, lesson? Because
oh, Peter has tons of cool information.
No, I heard a message in tell on the church that the star didn't actually appear the whole time.
Okay, right.
Yeah, it only appeared at significant times where God wanted to lead the shepherds to Jesus.
Right.
Not the shepherds, but the wise men.
The wise men, the magi. And the magi, actually, we didn't talk about this, but the magi didn't visit Jesus in the when he was just born. Okay, good. What about you guys?
You said.
You said, okay.
Just that Mary was, like, really young.
Mary was young. Right. There's a lot of significance to that. And in her young age, how she was able to receive the message and her response, though fear in the beginning. If you track Mary's song in Scripture and her response, right, to being favored upon by God, her faith, that's why the significance of a young, when the Bible says have childlike faith, the Bible never says to have childish faith. Because God wants us to mature, but to have childlike faith. It means it's simple. And the younger you are, the simpler your faith is. Okay, good. What else? Anything else?
I always thought of it, when the notion that she had Jesus the night of.
Yeah, the night of. Like, we just got there, right in the nick of time. Woo! We found the back shelter. It's freezing. We don't have blankets. Drop a baby out right here, baby Jesus. Right? Right, good. All right, so let's go down the row now. Go back and say, what was something meaningful that stood out to you? Something just rethinking this, like what had meaning? What brings meaning to you? What did you guys discuss that really kind of struck you? One of the concepts we talked about, I always use a lot of things to talk about meaningful things, and what stood out to you? What did God speak to you in? Okay, let's start. Same thing. We'll go around. Is that okay? Anything meaningful? I'm just going to let the hand pass and my coffee cup pass. You don't have to share anything meaningful. If nothing was meaningful to you, that's okay. I'm just kidding. People say, can you please stop doing that? Like, I just do that because I'm a jerk sometimes. I'm sorry. God's redeeming me. Capacity. Over. Anything meaningful? Terrible. What a stupid thing I'm doing. How about you just share?
There's something that I thought of.
Yes.
They really don't know, I guess, in history what the exact date was born.
Right.
We celebrate Christmas, but it's not really real. The correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why is that meaningful to you?
Because I really wondered when we really was born.
Okay, all right. Okay, good. Yeah, okay. So that's meaningful. Like, we just don't know. All right? Anything else? Josh?
I thought the fact that, like, for me at least, I assume, and a lot of people assume, that there were only three kings.
Right.
Uh-huh. Wise men.
Uh-huh.
That was meaningful for me because it, like, highlighted the human tendency to make assumptions without knowing the culture.
Right, okay. The ease of making mistakes in Scripture, right? Okay, good. Anything else meaningful to the class? How about in the back there? How about our junior high class? 7th through 10th graders. Anything meaningful, Bethany? In this whole...
I think that was meaningful to honor our elders.
Mm.
And, like, just, like, pay attention to them and, like, help them.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, praise God. one of the things that I'll let you guys in on a little secret. One of the things that made me jaw drop and go goo-goo eyes was when I saw Bex before we were even dating, and she was helping one of the elderly ladies out of their car and walked her to the sanctuary to sit down. She doesn't do that a lot, but when I saw her do that, my heart melted. I'm like, that's my woman right there. I'm going hunting. Right? I'm like, that is a woman who loves the Lord. It was two things. It was when I saw her teaching children, and when I saw her teaching children, it melted my heart. And then when I saw her taking care of some elderly people in our church, I'm like, that's it. Everyone, I told all the brothers at the church, that's mine. She's mine. I'm like, she's mine, dude. Everyone, here's your chance. Anybody? Because once I go, ain't no room for you guys no more. I'm coming to hot. Right? So little Andy Minia there. So look. Yes, Bethany, praise God. I'm glad that track with you, because that's something that I really do pray for our church. I really, really, really do. Something very special about our church is all the different generations. And if we do not help the young take care of the old, we have missed something big here. We've missed the gospel running through our lives. And so when you see an elderly person coming out of the car, I would love to see some of you go to them and lend them a hand. Help them with their bags. Help them with their food. Bring tea to them. Help them clean up their table. Help them bring their bags over. Walk slow with them. I don't know. There's so many ways that we can learn how to serve and honor the elderly generation in our midst. They are the ones who paved the way for us, guys. It wasn't your no offerings. Half of you guys who make no money that went to pay off our church. Our church building, the activity center, has been paid off this year. And there's a lot of brothers and sisters who have contributed to that. No thanks to a lot of us here. And it's okay, because you're not making money yet. How do we honor them? These are the people who prayed for you when you were born. Those are people who prayed for your family, who prayed for you as you're going through your rebellious teenagers. You know how many of these elderly people pray and care for you? How do we honor them? Right? Yeah, that's super meaningful. How do we give them the best seat in the house? Because they ought to have the best seat in the house. You guys with me? You guys tracking with me? Okay, good. A lot of meaningful stuff. Thank you very much. Can I have someone just volunteer to pray for us today? Anybody with a burden who would just love to have eye contact with me? And Dr. Wong, thank you. Right when I said eye contact, you looked up. Come up here. Let me introduce you to Dr. Timothy Wong. I actually started calling him Dr. because we were at the Nancy retreat. And we're playing just a hellacious game of ping pong. We're going at each other. And I said, come on, doctor, that's all you got. And then Josie came up to me later, like, you don't have to call him a doctor, you know. I'm like, oh, no, I do have to mock him. So we praise God for him. He's going to be our substitute. And as you pray for me and my cancer and all that, pray for him and what God will bring to him. I'm not even raising expectations, because he's going to do what he's been given from God. And whatever that is, we're going to receive it as a class together, because we know it's God's going to use our teachers at the church, okay? All right. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, Lord, Heavenly Father, we're just grateful again for this time we had to learn about you, Lord, and this time that we've had to explore the myths about your birth, Lord, this time that we celebrate that. So as we leave from here, Lord, I pray that you just be with us and bless the sermon that we preach today,
yes,
and our hearts will be open to hearing your word.
Yes,
and for myself, Lord, as I try to prepare curriculum for the next coming months, Lord, just pray that I'll just be used by you, Lord, to deliver whatever message it is you want us to all learn from and to hear from. All these things in your name.
Amen. Amen.